Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
This is Issues 2025. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Andover Administrator Jennifer McCausland. Welcome to Issues 2025.
Thank you, Steve.
Nice to have you with us. And you have brought Catherine Ewing, Director of Capitol Federal Amphitheater, with you, so you two could talk about the remaining concerts this summer and fall. Welcome, Catherine. Nice to have you with us this morning.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be here.
Tell us about the concerts. What's left?
Let's
start off with you, and then we'll go back to her. Okay?
Absolutely. So Thursday, September 4th at 6 p.m., we have Blues Traveler, Gin Blossoms, and Spin Doctors. Thursday, September 11th at 7 p.m., we have the Red Clay Strays with special guest The Dip. And Friday, September 26th, in conjunction with Greater Andover Days, at 7:30 p.m., we have Three Dog Night with Little River Band.
Okay, where's the amphitheater located within Andover?
It is at 1607 East Central, okay, directly south of Andover City Hall.
And what's the format? How much do we have to pay to get in?
It depends on the concert. There are different ranges of ticket prices that you can go to our website, capitalfederalamphitheater.com, and click on any of the concerts, and it'll take you to our partner Select a Seat, where you can pick your chair.
Okay. And again, is it how do you seat people? Is it all it's already –
Yes, we provide the chair for you. You're buying.
I don't have to bring my lawn chair.
No, sir. Okay. No lawn chairs. We'll provide the seat for you. In addition, we have the lodge at Capitol Federal Amphitheater, which I know Jenny will be speaking about also, where we have a premium patio and a great experience for guests also.
Yeah, I have a question about lodge. What's this new lodge? Tell me about that.
I'll let Jenny speak more to it because it involves the history of Andover. But we'll have an opportunity for companies to hold and rent Christmas parties, weddings, any types of events. It's an actual event space that is available for rent.
I think they call it a venue.
Yes, sir.
All right. I got that. All right. It's a venue. Very good. Jennifer.
Yes.
How long have you been city administrator at Andover?
I have been city administrator. It'll be 6 years at the end of September. So it's gone fast, but there's been a lot of events to occur to the Andover community in those 6 years. So
a lot going on.
Yes.
What did you do before that then?
I was the assistant city administrator in Andover for 9.5 years. So I've been with Andover since 2010, just celebrated my 15-year milestone. So I've watched a lot of change happen in Andover since 2010.
Andover, one of the fastest growing cities in Kansas. Can you give us some numbers to support that?
Sure. We have just under 16,000 residents in Andover. When I came, we were closer to 10,000. So that gives you an idea of that rapid growth in 15 years. We are the fastest growing city in the state of Kansas with over 10,000 people. So there is another suburb that can say they're the fastest growing in the Wichita area, but they aren't at that 10,000 mark. So that's our little caveat. And what we've seen most recently is a tremendous growth in business, which is really exciting because one of the things when we do scientific surveys and comprehensive plans and we ask people what they want to see in Andover, routinely it has been more food, more things to do, allowing them to not have to necessarily leave town to go have some of those amenities once they maybe get home from work or things of that nature. And so we've had 4 local establishments, restaurants open in the last year, which is tremendous, and then even a couple chains that are about to open here in the next few months.
How does housing fit into this? Are you going to have enough homes for everybody?
Sure. Housing is huge, and we have been blessed to have a more rapid home growth than a lot of the other suburbs in the area. But the other notable thing is that we have opened 2 apartment complexes in a year's time along US 54, and between the two of those, 450 or so apartment units have come online. And so that's a tremendous boost. and we are in conversations with another developer looking at adding yet another apartment, likely on the south side of US 54 in the next couple of years. So the demand is there. For a long time, we have known we do not have enough rental stock. So to be able to add these apartment units really will help a lot of folks who might be trying to wait for a home to be built. They're transitioning because of a job location, or you might have some folks too who maybe don't qualify for a home loan, especially with interest rates as they are. So this allows them to get into the community in a little bit easier fashion.
I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about what it is that you do. How big is your city staff there?
So we have just over 100 full-time employees. And so my job in one sentence is to oversee the daily affairs of the city. So that includes everything from public safety. We have professional full-time police, fire, and 911 dispatch, which is a little bit unique for a community of our size, but we do have our own 911 dispatch center. And then on the public works side, we have a wastewater plant, which is actually going through a major expansion right now so that we can continue to serve the community for hopefully another 30 plus years as we go through that. Our street department, and then our parks department, who maintains our hundreds of acres of parkland across the city. And then we also have our administrative staff at City Hall that handles everything from billing, building permits, things of that nature.
Where do you get your water?
Our water, we are customers of City of Wichita.
The city? Okay.
And our residents are all direct customers of Wichita. So we are not in the water billing process. They receive their bills from City of Wichita just like any other Wichita resident would.
So as you observe, there are drought conditions on their watering?
Absolutely. We follow them just the same way in Andover as if we were still. Actually, their maps, if you look at them, do extend all the way into Andover. So when the drought conditions dictate that south of Central needs to do certain days, sure. North of Central, it's the same deal in Andover.
What's your annual operating budget?
Oh, approximately $17 million.
I know.
We are right in the middle of budget season.
Yeah,
So operating budget is a funny question. We spend far more than an operating budget in a year, but that includes grants and pass-through monies that we receive through feds and state. It includes money that we've held in reserve. It includes sales tax funds, which are not property tax. And so when I talk operating, I'm typically talking property tax. But we do spend far more than that in a given year.
Well, my next question, how does Andover raise the money to pay for the city's operation?
Sure.
You just outlined most of it, I guess, right?
A great deal of it is property tax. I would take a moment to talk about our Family Future Forward temporary sales tax.
That's my next question.
I'm jumping ahead.
Would you just let me ask the question? tell us about Family Future Forward.
You bet. Family Future Forward is a temporary sales tax. We went to the voters in November of 21. Probably a lot of people didn't think that was the best time coming off of COVID, but we knew we had some things we wanted to do that we did not have the funds to do otherwise. So we put a 1 cent sales tax on that lasts no more than 8 years. It started in April of 2022. And that funded a brand new fire station, which we opened in 2024, a remodel of our current fire station. And what's really exciting to me is that prior to this remodel and rebuild, we did not have sleeping areas or restroom facilities in the fire stations that would accommodate what I would call a diverse workforce. In other words, it was bunk sleeping, and it was one large bathroom. Mm. Now we have individual sleeping rooms. We have individual shower rooms. And so we can accommodate any gender, any person who may want to come and be a firefighter for Andover. And since we've opened these, we've had 2 female part-time firefighters come on staff, which personally thrills me because I think it's really important we reflect our population and our employment.
That's interesting to me, if I may interrupt.
Absolutely.
This week, Mays has... the voters there have said okay to a 1% sales tax. And I can see you'd go to Wichita voters and they'd turn it down by 80%. What does that mean? Does that mean that some of these smaller communities are a little more progressive in what they're trying to do?
We've been so fortunate to have a supportive community who has routinely said yes. I mean, we've done a lot via sales tax. In 2010, we built City Hall on a sales tax. And, you know, if you're looking at it from a financial perspective, we paid cash for that building, and once we were done paying for it, we weren't paying debt, we weren't paying interest.
No interest,
And so there's a real advantage to doing that. We built our library with a sales tax. The restrooms in Central Park, which also double as a tornado shelter, which were used the night of the April 29, 2022 tornado. All of those things were paid for, one of our fire engines. And so we've had a lot of success with the taxpayers in Andover supporting us. I think some of that is we've kept our word. We've told them we're going to put it on. It's going to be for this long. We're going to do these projects for you. And we've done that. And that's continued to build trust, which is incredibly important to, if you want to go back and ask
was
for more.
Family Future Forward, was that any response to the tornado that struck that city in April of 2022?
So we actually did this just before.
Oh, you did? You were before that?
Yes, okay. And we did not expect that we would be rebuilding so much of Central Park when we went to the voters. So we felt like Central Park was kind of, for lack of a better term, done at the time. And we'd really somewhat neglected our 13th Street Sports Park, which was also part of that Family Future Forward. And so that was the plan. Start collecting tax on April 1, 2022 and April 29, 2022. Large swaths of Central Park has been completely taken out, including the lodge building that Kat referred to earlier, as well as countless trees. They told us to stop counting after 1,000 trees because we did have those insured as part of a park. Mm-hmm. But we were capped. the park shop, the maintenance building that they worked on, the roof at City Hall, and then countless other small structures that they used for various shelter purposes for the Parks Department.
Has the city recovered 100% after that tornado?
We are probably as close as we're going to get. I would say there are still some lots of homeowners that are vacant. And homeowners certainly can choose to do what they want to do. Some, I believe, are out-of-state owners who haven't decided if they want to sell the land or rebuild a home to rent or something along that nature. But we stood up a long-term recovery committee that provided over $800,000 in donated funds from individuals, companies, to families who were impacted. And we've dissolved that committee in December. We'd expended all of the money from that. The lodge was really the last piece for the city's properties. We had 19 vehicles taken out by the tornado, countless insurance claims that we had to work through. Yeah. Obviously, our Andover YMCA, which I was privileged to serve on the board for during that time, went through a massive rebuild. So this really, this lodge opening just 2 weeks ago was kind of our close the chapter on the April 2022 tornado and hope that we don't have to experience something like that for the rest of at least our lifetimes.
You're listening to Issues 2025 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guests are Andover City Administrator Jennifer McCausland and Amphitheater Director Catherine Ewing. You know, you talk about the devastating, there was a devastating tornado back in 1991 for Andover. I'm sure the city and county, Sedgwick County, have taken steps over the years to prepare for disasters in the future. Have you not?
Yes.
And you mentioned at least one shelter.
Sure, yes. So the bathrooms that we put in Central Park, you know, we actually got a little bit of criticism when we put them in because they were at a price of over $500,000. There's a men's restroom, women's restroom, and a family restroom. But what was really critical to the governing body at that time was that it needed to serve as a 24/7 tornado shelter. So it's FEMA rated. And it does not have to be staffed. So whereas we have tornado shelters in the city hall, we have a tornado shelter in the library, those require staff to be there. And a big problem with having tornado shelters in buildings that don't have 24/7 operations is somebody's got to drive through potentially the path of a storm to come open that facility, because what we know is tornadoes do frequently occur in the evening hours. And so this allowed people to be able to come. They just pull the door shut behind them in those restrooms. They can go in any side, the men's, the women's, or the family. And it is a reinforced FEMA tornado shelter. And like I said earlier, when we watched all of the video from the front of the City Hall building that night, in a weird way, it thrilled my heart to see the vehicle fly into that parking lot and watch people run into that building and take shelter. For us, that made it priceless, even if it did come at a pretty substantial cost when we built it.
Do you have shelters built into your schools?
The schools do have shelters. Good. In fact, my boys both went to Prairie Creek Elementary. I failed to mention that earlier. That was another big piece of our community that was taken out by that tornado. Fortunately, the tornado did happen in the 8 o'clock hour of the evening, so the kids were not there, but they would have gone to the gym area should that they have needed to do that.
I want to go back to Catherine for just a minute. I want to start to find out some more about the amphitheater. So where did the idea come from? Oh, okay.
I'm going to defer to Jennifer again since this was a city project.
All right.
Did
you think of it yourself?
I can't take credit for it, but I was there at the time. How about that?
Really? You were there at the moment. Okay.
Yes, yes. Really, former Mayor Ben Lawrence, this was kind of a vision he had. But the Convention and Visitors Bureau had struggled for years they're tasked with bringing visitors to Andover. And prior to the amphitheater, we didn't really have the destination location to bring people to Andover. We had a wonderful community, great schools. We had a wonderful YMCA, but something that was going to make someone get in their car and drive miles and miles or maybe from out of state, we didn't really know what that was, outside of maybe some excellent golf courses, which do bring some folks in. So in 2012, the Convention and Visitors Bureau held what they would kind of consider to be their first test concert. And so back in those days, we would rent a huge portable stage and we would have these concerts in the park, and tremendous lift on the city staff. At that point, the staff was probably closer to 80 or 90 employees. So everybody really pulling together to put this on, and felt like after a number of years, we'd really had a proof of concept. If you build it, they will come type of idea. We were well aware. We'd done some feasibility studies. There was no outdoor venue in the Wichita area. And the Mayor Lawrence specifically talked about in the Kansas City area, there were multiple venues where you could go outside and enjoy a show under the stars and what that really meant. Another piece of his vision was going back to this idea of the people in Andover could have a cultural experience without having to go to downtown Wichita or leave their direct community. And so in 2017, we decided to move forward with the building of the amphitheater, and we secured naming rights with Capital Federal, which has been an excellent partner for us this whole time. And we opened the building or the amphitheater in 2018. City ran it for a number of years, up to as many as 4 ticketed concerts per year. Tremendous, like I said, weight on the staff. Not full-time event folks. Don't have careers that led us to the point of putting on shows. And so I think we did well, but we knew we could do better. And so that led to 2023 partnering with ASM Global, who also manages the Orpheum, Century 2, and Interest Bank Arena.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so that's where Kat and her team enters.
So Kat, how's it gone? How's the attendance been?
It's been great.
Do people come out to see the show?
Absolutely. We, for the past 2 years, have done 4 of the free concerts sponsored by Odyssey. And so that has been great for the community. We just hosted Aaron Lewis this last Thursday and Chris Young on Saturday. Had a great turnout. Everyone that I spoke to had a wonderful experience in the park.
Okay, so but you need a ticket to get in.
Yes, sir.
And how do you get one?
Select a seat. You can go on our website, Capital Federal Amphitheater, and click on any of the concerts, and it'll take you directly to where you can buy tickets.
All right. I want to go back to Jennifer again. I want you to tell me a little bit, if you could, about Andover's infrastructure and how it's maintained, the streets and the pipes and all that.
Sure. We talked about sales tax earlier. We have had a 1 cent sales tax that does not sunset on our books since the 1990s. And that 1 cent sales tax is dedicated to road maintenance. And that has been just an incredible asset for us, as we are members of the Wichita Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, WAMPO. When state or federal dollars have come available, they frequently require a local match. And whereas a lot of other communities might struggle a little bit to figure out how to come up with their match, and the state and feds are very generous. They frequently will do those in an 80-20 split. But still, 20% of some multi-million dollar projects is a lot for small communities. Mm. That 1 cent sales tax has really allowed us to go after some grants to be able to execute some grant requirements. We just recently received base grants for both Founders Parkway and Yorktown Road Extension. And those started as 80-20 shares, but there was only so much available in the award and ended up being more split the other way, 40% the states and 60% on the city, because the cost of the projects went up and we were able to go to that sales tax fund that we have dedicated to help us put that in. So I believe that's really set us up for success as we've needed to extend our road system and continually maintain it so that it doesn't get too riddled with potholes and things of that nature.
I want to talk about community events mm-hmm. outside the amphitheater events, parties or annual parades, things like that.
Sure.
What's going on?
We have added quite a bit again in the last few years. Once we were able to work with ASM on the amphitheater and take that load off of our staff, we were able to redirect the work of the event FTE on our team to do more community-based events. And so we added Explore Andover. That's EGG Explore. So you might think about Easter eggs.
Eggs.
There you go. It's a big hunt.
A big egg hunt. Okay,
big egg hunt in Central Park. So we've done two of those now at Easter time. Greater Andover Days is a very long-standing tradition in the Andover community. That happens in typically, it falls at different times. It's either last weekend of September, first weekend of October, but that's our fall festival. It's usually 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. As Catherine mentioned, we have a concert on one night. We'll have a parade, which is really kind of the touchstone, I guess, of that event. And that's on Saturday morning where everybody goes down to Andover Road and does a nice traditional parade where you get to see the members of the community. Car show, all kinds of different events, and that they are actually taking reservations and registration now for that event, which will be at the end of September this year. We've added something for your pets, Wagoween. So you can, Steve, you can bring your pets in costume out to Central Park, take pictures, let them hang out at the dog park, all kinds of fun events for families of all kinds. And
I don't
shapes.
Have a pet, but I'll show up anyway.
You could take somebody else's.
Adopt a pet. Now, I'm kind of interrupting you here. We're running out of time, but what's the biggest challenge that Andover faces right now?
You know, what I think the biggest challenge is really the biggest challenge it was when I came here in 2010, and having grown up in Derby and feeling like the Derby I grew up in is kind of the Andover that I'm working in today. It's maintaining that small town vibe that people love and move to Andover for, while also growing and realizing the full potential that the community can have. You ask people what they want, and on surveys they'll say they want all of these national chains and these really big name restaurants to come to the community. And what we know is you got to have a head count in order for those big name places to come. And so you need to find ways to grow your population and to grow your business. And so trying to maintain that small town vibe while making sure that we're meeting all of our growth potential and doing it strategically, and so that we don't have as many growth pains as you could have, that's our biggest challenge.
So how do I rent a lodge for my next wedding or party, whatever?
You contact me. You can go to Capital Federal Amphitheater, and it will have a link there that can take you directly to get more information about a rental.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
All right. Sounds like fun. Hey, thanks for being with us this morning and finding out a great deal about Andover. I've known some. I've been over there a few times, and I'll come and visit you again very soon, probably this afternoon, frankly.
Great.
But again, thanks for being with us. Our guest this week on Issues, Andover City Administrator Jennifer McCausland and Amphitheater Director Catherine Ewing. And again, one more time, Catherine, the website we need to go to?
CapitalFederalAmphitheater.com.
Oh, boy. I hope I can spell all that. Thanks all for being with us this morning. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2025. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.